Len, it appears that the week ahead on the calendar, weather-wise, is something that Chicago area golfers are looking forward to. Several days in a row in the low to mid-60s for early November, and I know that some of the courses that normally close about the first weekend or two into November are perhaps looking at it as, hey, this might be the last great blast of outdoor golf for the year.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. Here in Florida, it's almost the same kind of a situation in reverse. We are about to get, you know, usually here it gets awfully hot. At the mid-80s is considered cool normally in Florida. As in the course of, over the course of the summer, more days were in the 90s than otherwise. But starting on Monday, we're supposed to have a high in the 70s, and it's going to extend for both the next week. So I'm expecting there'll be a lot more play on the Florida courses than there has been. And, of course, we're starting to get the snowbirds coming down here. So, I don't know, golf is picking up. It's going strong in both locations when we're 1,500 miles apart.
The golf traffic headed for Florida will, as you mentioned, start picking up. A lot of the people that spend 6 months in Florida that come down from the north are probably getting ready to do their November, December, January through April run before they come back up here for next year's summer months. So the golf courses start getting crowded in Florida, and I'm sure the rates will start getting a little higher down there as they frequently do during the winter months.
Yeah, you know, there's one Florida note that I think I should make here that I just kind of come across. Reese Jones, of course, a famous architect who's known as the Open Doctor and did a lot of work on Cog Hill that maybe wasn't so good, but he did Medina. He did Medina number two course, very well received there. He did a lot of work in Chicago. And his father, who Robert Trent Jones, you know, the original, he did a lot of Chicago courses as well. An interesting thing happening here in Florida, not far from me, in 2 weeks, I think, that they haven't given me a date yet. The place where the family, the Jones family, lived, Coral Ridge, near the Fort Lauderdale area. The father designed the golf course and had his offices there. Reese Jones grew up there. Reese has just completed a renovation of his dad's course. And of all the courses that Reese has been involved in, he considers this a lifetime highlight that he did this. So I think that it's a private club, but I'm wondering, and this should be a story worth following. I've written a piece for a Florida publication, and we'll probably follow up with something in Chicago, too, of a little different nature. But that's kind of significant. Reese Jones redoing one of his dad's course and the course that he grew up on. Kind of a feel-good, interesting sidelight story to the golf world. I mean, the Joneses, boy, they designed both of them. They worked on courses all over the country for a lot of years.
Len, one of the stories that's been in the news for the last week is the annual PGA merchandise show down in Florida going to a virtual format next January due to the pandemic. And you have to wonder how they're going to pull that off. And I'm sure it's one of the questions that the brand new president of the PGA of America, former vice president of golf at Kohler, Jim Richardson, will have to take a look at as he settles in to his new job that started yesterday. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the approach to a one-year delayed Ryder Cup at Kohler, Jim's former place of employment. No knock on Susie Whaley, who did a wonderful job for 2 years as president of the PGA of America, but I got to believe this is going to be a really feel-good moment and in some ways well-deserved moment for Jim Richardson, who was at Kohler through a lot of their years of growth, to go back for the Ryder Cup at Kohler as PGA of America president.
Hey, you know, this is really, it really is an interesting transition that we have here. And it speaks well for the PGA of America, I think. I felt that whoever, and I wasn't thinking about Jim at the time, I have a whole lot of respect for Susie Whaley. I think she did a good job on a lot of fronts in her run as president there. And now Jim, I think, is going to do just fine. I mean, he's a good guy and have a good Midwest influence to that organization, which it can he can always use a little more of that. I think you and I are a little prejudiced on that topic, maybe. But from Susie Whaley to Jim Richardson, I mean, that's a pretty good switch, and two good people, and speaks really, really well for the time of the PGA of America, I think.
Before long, in the next year or two, the PGA Championship returns to Kiawah Island, and where Roger Warren serves as resort president. So, and of course, former president of the PGA of America. And I think that is something else that us Midwestern types will look forward to. I'm anxious to see how Jim's presidency really kind of filters in as the facilities come online. The new PGA facilities in Frisco, Texas. And those golf courses come online. I know the PGA of America is going to have some of its championships there in years to come. And the other big question is the big hotel with a convention center that's going to get built there. And you have to wonder at some point which PGA merchandise show, either the January show or the Las Vegas show that takes place in August, which is more of an apparel show, end up at least, if not every year, once in a while in Frisco, Texas.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, I just, the PGA merchandise show has got my attention this whole week here. I'm having a hard time envisioning just what it will be like. That's such a huge topic, and I, you know, it is just strictly for industry members. I'm sure that they'll do a good job with it within the limitations that they have. But right now, I just remember that show for each year and how many people were there and all the things that went on around it. And I just kind of feel like we're going to be a little bit lost to imagine just what this show is going to be like this time around.
Well, I'm still curious how they're going to make this a virtual show. I don't know. Do you go to a show website and follow a link, and there's a live camera of somebody's display of their products set up at their home corporate office or in a facility that they've rented for a few days close to their home corporate office or in their plant, showing all the new clubs for the year if they haven't already released them. And, you know, that itself is another topic, is the amount of companies that have released equipment in the last month or so with the record-breaking equipment sales that we've had. And speaking of which, West Suburban Tour Edge Golf has announced a big rollout of equipment a few weeks ago, but you can actually start buying those clubs tomorrow and taking them home starting November 1st, right after Halloween.
That's really fascinating how Tourage jumped in and really did it, but made an innovative move here to push its marketing much earlier than any company ever has really been doing in the past. But again, it's just what it's happening here is we're seeing, and in no way is this negative. This is all good, I think, the changes that have come to golf via the pandemic. Now, it's going to take all of us getting used to a lot of different things, but it's an exciting time. I'm interested in the PGA show. I can't imagine what it'll be like. I can't imagine all the equipment companies participating as they have in the past, but we'll soon find out.
You and I talk frequently about golf course renovation and the clubs around here that have been doing different renovation projects, and work has really started in off the course areas for the most part already at Settlers Hill. Greg Martin and their team out there working already. And of course, we mentioned a few podcasts back that Greg Martin will be doing work at both of the Naperville Park District golf courses in the next year or two. And also Robert Trent Jones special here, Pottawatomie, out in St. Charles. Yeah. And that's going to get a Greg Martin tune-up here, the course that had one of the first or the first island greens before the craze of them sort of came along after Pete Dye built the 17th hole at Sawgrass. But, you know, the other thing that has come to my attention is, and we've talked about this, the clubhouse that's getting built at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, DuPage County Forest Preserve District. And, you know, I've been in touch with my radio broadcast partner, Ed Stevenson, about that as they work through the construction phase. But last month, the clubhouse renovation, or shall we say total reconstruction over at Fox Run in Elk Grove was supposed to be launched. And, just recently, I was notified there is a new clubhouse or one under construction over at the Glencoe Golf Club up in the North Shore. So on the private side, word came out this summer that Hinsdale Country Club had wrapped up a multi-million dollar renovation of its clubhouse, too. And that wasn't even the entire clubhouse. So clubhouses, again, are starting to get front and center here about either getting redone, trying to plan for their needs in years ahead, as golf has experienced a bit of a boom here during the pandemic. And it'll be interesting to see the thoughts that go into building brand new golf clubhouses here in the future.
So I just learned about the one at Glencoe, and that was a place quite a few years ago, but it was one of my favorite courses of the public nature way back when. And I haven't been there, of course, now in quite a few years, but that's a club that always intrigued me. I just liked the course. I had a good feel for the course for years there. On the negative side, of course, I guess we're all aware of the sale of Calumet Country Club. Apparently, the pending closing of the course to have something else built there, although just what that's going to be seems to be a subject of a lot of discussion. But, you know, Calumet was a long time private club on the south side in an area where there's a lot of courses of that nature right together. And I guess the end to some of them was getting to be somewhat inevitable. But Calumet had a good track there. It's hosted the state amateur just, I think, 3 years ago. I wish it was still going to remain a golf course, but from what I'm told, that's not likely going to happen.
Well, it does sound like development for retail is going to happen there. There's been rumors flying around that IKEA is coming there with a store, and now some talk on social media today that Walmart has signed a lease for a store there. So we'll have to see what all develops. There is some talk, though, that whatever gets developed there, there might be a small park, there might be some trails, walking and jogging and biking trails, and who knows, maybe someday you can go for a walk, or you can jump on your bike and you can ride the trails that were once the famous fairways of the historical Calumet Country Club, where Byron Nelson won a tournament during his famous stretch run of 11 consecutive victories. And correct me if I'm wrong here, I want to say 1945.
1945 it was. Yeah, that's a lot of history at Calumet. I mean, it goes way back. It's been a popular course within that area, but boy, I tell you, the that area though had Ravislow. It went public. It had Flossmoor, which has become Flossmoor Country Club, which has become a golf club now. It's changed dramatically. Olympia Fields once had four courses. Now it has two. It's still a busy club, but still it isn't what it used to be. You know, it's an area there, I think, that with the for a while there, the building of private clubs was concentrated right there. And now, you know, things do change, and that's happening there now. Not all for the better, I don't think.
Len, over a week ago, I was up in Wisconsin and had a chance to visit Trapper's Turn Golf Club, the Andy North Roger Packard design that's 20-some years old. But they are in the process of making some big improvements there. Mm-hmm. And not only did at the end of 2018, they plant a vineyard between two of the three nines that is really taking shape. Now, I understand it's not for producing their own wine, but before too long, because of the aging process, that they're only a couple of the years of the way through, that might need another year or two or so. Pretty soon you might be able to take home a bottle of Trapper's Turn brandy. Brandy is apparently going to be the big product there. In addition, to next June, they are going to open a over 1 acre putting green that will be lit at night. So if you come in from the end of your round and it's getting dark and you want to have dinner and then you want to go out and practice a little bit, you can go out and do it under the lights on the putting green and work on that putting stroke. Also, next June, the 12-hole par 3 course that Andy North came back to design, along with Craig Haltom, the partner of Oliphant Haltom Golf. Craig Haltom, for those who may not recognize that name, he is the person who discovered the land, the sandy land, that is now Sand Valley in Wisconsin, and reached out to Mike Kaiser and said, hey, you might want to check out this piece of property. It might be good for a golf course or two or three or five. And at the time, Mike Kaiser sent Josh Lesnick from Kemper Sports out to scout the property. And Josh Lesnick told me in an interview once on Golfers on Golf Radio, he was only there about 20 or 30 minutes, and he was on his cell phone telling Mike Kaiser he better get up there and take a look. And as a result, we have one of the more popular golf destinations in America, Sand Valley, that has emerged up there in Wisconsin. But Craig Haltom found the property, felt it would be great for a golf course. He has walked the land with Andy North. They have 12 par 3 holes that are growing in, and we'll have more about that on golfersongolf.com within a week or so. But anyway, Trapper's Turn, a lit up putting green, a new vineyard, a new 1,000-bottle wine room, a new 12-hole par 3 course. And I'm told by management there that unfortunately this part of the plan was delayed by COVID, but they're looking at also adding about a 58-room lodge on the property as well, so people can come up, and if they're heading up from work on Friday night, they can have a nice dinner, they can practice on the putting green, they can get a good night's sleep, and they're right there in the morning to tee off. And not exactly sure when construction will start on that lodge, but they hope to have it completed and up and running in less than 5 years.
You know, it's interesting with Trapper's Turn. I always thought that was a pretty good place anyway. I mean, the Packard North team was the same ones that did the General at Eagle Ridge. Trapper's Turn was good location. But now, you know, these things pretty much have to happen over there. The building boom in Wisconsin has gotten so competitive, so good in just the last 5 years or so that even a good place like Trapper's Turn has got to make changes. Now, it sounds like the upgrades they're making there are just off the charts. It sounds like it's really going to be a fantastic place. But Wisconsin has been certainly a leader statewide in taking golf to a new level, and you almost can't wait to see what's coming there next.
Ownership group at Trapper's Turn also owns the nearby Kalahari Resort that is not only a hotel with a water park, but on Lake Del Mar, about a mile and a half from the main resort, they've built these really, really nice upscale log cabins, log cottages, log two-story homes that are rentable right on the lake. State-of-the-art stuff, fireplaces, big screen TVs. You know, I didn't get inside the two-story houses, but I got to believe that they come complete with probably a very nice bar, maybe a hot tub, things like that, when there's more space to do so. But Trapper's Turn, if they're going to put the golfers right there at the golf course, they don't even want them to have to get in their car and drive 2.5 miles to the log cabins or the cottages, 4 miles back to the main resorts. They're gonna park them right there on the golf course. So they ownership group at Trapper's Turn is going to have plenty of places to stay for the golfers that are going to come up and play Trapper's Turn.
Got to find a way to get there next time back into Chicago in the summer. That's going to be it's obviously going to be a one of the next hot spots in the Badger State.
Well, Len, one of the things I know you like to do when you get back up north here in the summer months is go to the John Deere Classic. And unfortunately, there was no John Deere Classic this year. But powers that be that operate that tournament, it starts with Claire Peterson, tournament director, and his team of people, and the people that operate their charity arm, Birdies for Charity. There may not have been any birdies made tournament week, but they still found a way to raise almost $13 million for local charities. The number was over $12 million. But you have to credit the John Deere Classic because there are so many good causes that rely on that money that comes out of that PGA Tour event every year. And while the checks may not be as big, and I know that the staff is not going to go up and deliver them and ring the doorbell and deliver those checks in person this year. They're going to get mailed to reduce potential COVID contact. But a lot of those organizations and great causes are still going to get a check this year for a good amount, even if it's just a couple dollars short of what they've gotten over the last few years.
Well, the whole story of the John Deere Classic is really heartwarming. That tournament next year will be the 50th anniversary, and to think of a tournament on the PGA Tour in a market that small going on 50 years and doing all the wonderful things charity-wise that it has done is almost incomprehensible. It's I had gone to that tournament, I think, I don't know how many times. It was a regular stop for me when it was held at Oakwood Country Club. It was there many, many years. Tiger Woods made one of his early forays onto the PGA Tour in a tournament over there. Now it's been, I believe, 20 years, I think, that John Deere has come aboard. All but one of those years, the tournament's been played at TPC Deer Run, which is, really a very fine golf course. Nothing wrong with that at all. And the players love it. The whole story of the John Deere Classic is one that I wish every tournament could have such a rich history and a rich social conscience as that one has.
Len, one thing that we missed earlier in the podcast when we were starting to talk about golf clubs, we can't let this weekend without mentioning, and I plan to do more research on it this week, but I did notice that one of my Facebook friends, Tim Clark, the president of Wilson Golf, was promoting the new line of Wilson irons that are coming out. And all of that just sort of hit the market and actually was announced in the last 24 to 48 hours. But Wilson Golf, that has some of the best irons in golf, coming out with the latest and greatest. And I think both of us, since we've both played Wilson products over the years, we should take a look at exactly what those are, and they could be a great topic for one of our topics for next week's podcast.
Yeah, you know, there's so many new clubs on the market, and we have our two Chicago companies both being very prominent in doing this with Tour Edge and Wilson. That's where normally I'd be looking for the PGA show to fill me in on that, but now it's really a case of needing to get started a lot earlier and seeing just what's out there, especially with those two. It's really an exciting time for golf. It's one of the really positive, upbeat things going on in all industry in America these days.
Well, on our final topic, and while it's not on tap this week, it's right around the corner. The Masters is coming. You know, the back nine on Sunday, something we always talk about in the second week of November.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Masters is coming. A couple announcements this week. Tiger Woods Champions dinner will be held at the club. Tiger was disappointed. Apparently, some of the older champions that come back for the dinner may not travel this year with concerns from the pandemic. However, the dinner will be held. But one thing that will not be held is the par 3 contest. So you have to wonder, players that have their wives or girlfriends caddy for them, sometimes they have some of their kids hit a shot for them or a putt for them during the tournament. I think maybe that will encourage some of the families to stay home, and maybe dad will just go to the Masters and concentrate on the business at hand, make a run for a green jacket. And I don't know, there's a lot of people starting to wonder, is Bryson DeChambeau the favorite? Can he overpower Augusta National with his long drives? Last week, even though he was only 17 under par and finished in, I believe, eighth place, Rory McIlroy had a tournament where he made 32 or 33 birdies, and that wasn't enough to win. So what's going to happen at Augusta National? It should be interesting.
Well, for the record, I'll come out with this right now. John Rahm's my guy in that one. I think he'll be a great champion. I think his game fits Augusta National. But, you know, the one thing I really am sorry to see is the par three contest not being held. Now, with no spectators on site, this is obviously the right thing to do, is to cancel that contest, because without spectators, the par three contest would have lost all its luster, all its excitement, all its fun. You can only hope that these things all come back soon. And in the case of the Masters, it'll be the last major of this year, and it figures to be the first major of 2021 in April. So just the next Masters, with hopefully all the accoutrements that it's made it so popular, will be just a few months away. So that's something to look forward to.
Well, the Masters basically becomes bookend majors, being on both sides of the major championship events here over this year and next year. The good news is Masters patrons, I believe, are going to be able to jump online and see that expanded Masters Pro Shop and gift shop merchandise tent, so to speak, online, and be able to buy merchandise over the internet. So I wonder how many people are going to want to have 2020 Masters flags, especially a lot of people buy them when they go. Will people buy them when they don't go? Interesting to see. Len, we'll be back next week for volume 33 of the Zeman Spears podcast series.